Like to call to order the June 23rd, 2022 meeting of the City of Savannah Zoning Board of Appeals. This is a quasi judicial proceeding. All those wishing to give testimony during these proceedings will please sign in. Witnesses will be sworn in prior to giving testimony. All proceedings of the Savannah Zoning Board of Appeals are recorded. Decisions of this board are final. Challenges to the decisions of this board must be made through a filing in the Superior Court of Chatham County. If you have cell phones or noise making devices, if you will, please silence them at this time. And please stand and join me with the prayer and the pledge of allegiance. Father, we just thank you for this time to come together today to do the business of this city. Lord, I ask your blessings on these proceedings. And Lord, I just thank you for this time to be together and ask you to give us wisdom and help us to decide rightly in all things that come before us. Lord, I pray your blessings upon all the marriages and families of Savannah and Chatham County. And we thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Okay. There is a item that has a request to be removed from the final agenda. That is a variance request for 520 East 45th Street, item number 22-002531. Do I hear a motion to remove this from the final agenda?
So made.
All right, Mr. Hall has made a motion to remove this item from the final agenda. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Plunk. If there's no discussion on the motion, Mr. Plunk, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Hall?
Yes.
And Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
All right, the motion passes and this item will be removed from the final agenda. Next is the approval for the minutes. For the May 26, 2022 meeting, do I hear a motion to approve the minutes?
Motion to approve the minutes.
Second.
All right, well, there's a motion to approve the minutes by Mr. Condon and a second by Mr. Plunk. Is there any discussion on this motion? All right. Mr. Plunk, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Hall?
Yes.
And Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
All right, the motion passes and the minutes are approved. Next, we'll have the approval for the final agenda as you see before you. Everyone has copies of that. If there's no objections, do I hear a motion to approve the final agenda?
So moved.
All right, Mr. Plunk has made a motion to approve the final agenda. Is there a second to the motion?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Condon and Mrs. Jones. Mr. Plunk, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Hall?
Yes.
And Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
Okay. So before we get started, if you are planning to speak or give testimony here today, if you will, and if you're at home, please do this as well. If you will, please raise your right hand and repeat after me. I solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me God. All right. First item we're going to hear is a variance request for 308 Kensington Drive. This is file number 22-0001724.
Thank you, Chairman, and good morning to you and the board. The first item we have up is a variance request. The petitioner is Laura Barrett for Joseph Newman. The property sits on 308 Kensington Drive. The petitioner is asking for the following variances: an exception for the existing accessory structure to remain in the front yard of the property, and a 3-foot encroachment to the side yard requirement for an existing accessory structure. For you, I have the tax map of the property. As you can see, the width of the property is 75. 150 depth. And this is the topography of the property. The subject property is located on the east side of Kensington, adjacent to Andover Drive, within the RSF 10 zoning district. The applicant has placed an accessory building in the front yard, and as a result, the applicant was notified by the city inspector that the structure was non-compliant and thus seeking these variances for the structure in question. The building in question appears to encroach the side yard setback and place in the front of the property. The minimum side yard setback for the accessory structure is 5 feet from the property line, and the accessory buildings are not permitted in the front of the property. Before you have the front view of the accessory structure. This is the left side of the accessory structure. This is the distance between the structure and the principal building. This is the rear. This is the right side facing from the neighbor. This is the front of the accessory structure to show you where it sits as in relation to the principal building. And once again, this is the front view of the accessory structure. The subject property is developed within a single family residency that also has an existing structure based on the rear. The property is once again 75 feet in width, 150 feet in depth, and approximately 11,250 square feet. According to section 8.73, accessory structures of the following: an accessory building or structure will not be allowed in the side yard or rear yard of the building. In addition, an accessory building or structure should not be located within 5 feet of the side yard or rear property lines, except where no setback is required by the zoning district, provided, however, when the building or structure is located within the side yard, such building or structure shall not encroach into the side yard setback. Based upon the review criteria and mitigation factors outlined above, staff recommend denial of the variance requested for 308 Kensington Drive due to the fact that it is located in the front yard. As you can see, it does exceed the principal structure of the house, therefore taking it out of the side and making it located in the front. Trying to find a picture here. I couldn't get a good picture because of the vegetation that's on the property, but as you can see, it encroaches the 5 yard setback requirement and takes about 3 feet of the side yard setback requirement.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions for staff? Go ahead, Mr. Plum.
So you said it's mostly covered by vegetation. That's why we don't have a good picture from, they're mostly kind of tied up. How visible is it from the street, would you say? And I, on top of that, was it, I guess, was a city official driving through the neighborhood who found it? Was this reported to the, if it's fairly covered, I guess, how did it come before the board? If the property owner didn't file this themselves initially?
It is not completely visible from the road. I'd say about maybe 30 to 40% visible from the road. As far as the inspector, I'm not aware if someone called the inspector or they just so happened to be driving in the neighborhood and they saw the accessory building.
Okay, I see there's several letters of support along with the packet. Was there has anyone called to complain or anything like that? Any of the neighbors?
No, I have not received any.
As far as we know.
Right.
I thank you. That was all.
Thank you. Any other questions for the staff?
Yes.
Go ahead, Mr. Ho.
When I looked at this yesterday, it made more sense. If we're talking about one or two sheds.
It's one shed.
And it's in the front yard.
Yes.
It doesn't seem that way from the photo.
Yes, sir. Try to find the photo.
I was just looking at it on Street View and stuff too, and it's just hard
to. It doesn't appear to be that way, but in this picture,
it just sticks out maybe a hair past the principal structure, and that's the reason code enforcement cited them for it.
Okay.
There's an aerial view in there that kind of helps too. That I thought that was the best of the pictures.
But it's a few inches into the front yard then.
Yes, it's okay. No less than a foot.
So to be clear, then what makes this structure non-compliant is that the few inches it encroaches past the principal structure, and the fact that it is also encroaching upon the 5-foot setback.
Yes, sir. Side.
Okay. Otherwise, it would be okay.
Yes, sir.
All right. Any other questions for staff?
How big is this shed?
I believe the applicant is here as well, and they could better answer that question.
We'll call for them in just a second. If that's all the questions for staff, would applicant please come forward and state your name for the record and sign in?
Good morning. Laura Barrett and my husband, Joseph Newman. It's 9.5 by 15. And I'm here to answer any questions you may have. This is a photograph, oops, that I took yesterday, just showing the where it falls in relativity to the roof line.
Okay,
sure. And then I also took this picture just showing most of that structure is heated and cooled. So we do have somewhat of an open carport that may end up being closed, enclosed. But I went ahead and did that so that you could get some idea of it does not fall into the front yard. It's actually on the side yard. What we did, I thought I was doing the correct thing. I checked with the powers that be. I called our president of Kensington Park Association. I was told by her and one of the board members, just keep it behind the carport, Laura. Just do not exceed past the carport. And I said, okay, that's cool. Went to the Belix, who are on our east side, and I said, do y'all have a problem if we build something here? We'll landscape it however you want. It may, you know, be over the line a little bit. And they were like, and you'll see one of their letters, Laura and Bryce Elick. And then we also had a letter of approval from the other side, our Western neighbors, Skip Jennings and Stacy. I used the highest quality materials that I could. I said, I'm not going to just build something that will fall apart in 5 years. And I honestly did not do what I thought was something incorrect. Did submit for a building permit, which I think has been given. I never got an actual building permit, but sort of did it backwards on that, but did submit, and then of course paid our fee for being here.
Okay, are there any questions for the applicant?
I would really appreciate it if y'all would approve it too.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Are there any members of the public that would like to speak concerning this petition? If you are online, please use the raise your hand feature and we'll recognize you. If you're in the room, you can raise your hand so I can recognize you here. All right, no members of the public. So we'll enter into board discussion. Mr. Hall, do you have anything you'd like to say?
Just that I appreciate staff's diligence on this.
Okay. Mr. Condon?
No, thank you, sir.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Evan, excuse me, Mrs. Jones?
My question would be just what would happen if it's denied?
I imagine they're going to be made to move it or tear it down.
The whole thing, or would they be able to?
Well, if it's not compliant now, they'd have to get within the setbacks and behind the primary structure, because he said that was the only thing to making it non-compliant. Am I correct?
Correct.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. And also, I've pulled up the
Google Street View. This is what the accessory structure is. As you can see, it's, well, it's not actually on Google, but it's right here in this location. It's kind of covered up by the vegetation, so it's not completely visible from the street.
Does any other, anybody else have anything they'd like to see? If not, we'll, chair will entertain a motion.
I motion that we grant petitioner's request for a variance.
All right. Mr. Plunk has made a motion to grant the petitioner's request for a variance. Is there a second to the motion?
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Condon. Is there any discussion on the motion?
Yes.
Okay.
There's two variances being requested, right?
Side and the front.
Yeah.
To clarify, I'm motioning that we approve the entirety of the petitioner's request.
Both requests.
For both variances.
Yes. So, yeah, let me clarify his motion. There's a motion on the table to approve the petitioner's request for both variances. There's been a second by Mr. Condon. Is there any more discussion on the motion? All right, Mr. Hall, how do you vote?
Yes.
Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
All right, the motion passes and the petitioner's request for both variances is approved. Next, we're going to hear a variance request for 203 West Anderson Street, 22-002535.
The petitioner is Ellen Harris, agent for A. Rayfield Reeves. The address is 203 West Anderson Street. The petitioner is requesting two space parking variance from the two space requirement for the proposed duplex. The applicant is proposing to construct a new over and under duplex on a vacant lot at 203 West Anderson Street. This is the tax map. This is an aerial view of the property. This is a picture of the property from Anderson Street. And this is a photo from the rear of the property. The subject property has frontage on 203 Anderson Street and is zoned TN1. The subject property is 0.07 acres in size, a lot width of 27 feet, and is located in the Victorian Historic District. The Victorian Historic District consists of primarily single family detached residences, two family residences, and apartment buildings. The subject property is generally consistent with the developmental pattern in the area. As you can see from the tax map, there's quite a few properties ranging from 27 to 28 to 32 to 48. The property is 2,700 square feet. The petitioner, as I stated, is proposing a two-family residency, a duplex. The minimum space requirement for this district is one parking spot per unit. The applicant will be required to provide two off-street spaces within the face. On the south side of Anderson Street between Jefferson and Bernard Street, there are two duplexes, one triplex, one single family residency, and an apartment building. Each of these structures have access to Anderson Lane, as you see here. However, Anderson Lane stops just short of 203 Anderson Street. This is the picture of the lane.
therefore not giving the applicant the ability to have rear parking as most of the properties within this area? Within this block face, Orange Street parking is quite common. Everyone on Bernard Street has Orange Street parking. The subject property is 102 parcel that does not have access to the budding street, as I stated before. This eliminates the parking in the rear. There are six parcels on the West Andrew near Bernard Street that also do not have access to a lane and require off-street parking. And based on the review of the criteria, staff recommends approval of the requested variance for 203 West Andrew Street. I will accept any questions from the board.
Are there any questions for staff?
Yes.
Go ahead, Mr. Hall.
So another property owner was able to build over the lane. Is that what's happening?
No, the lane just came short. It did not go all the way through.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions for staff?
Do they need another variance to build a two-family, a duplex? Are they applying for enough variances is my question.
Yes, duplexes are allowed in the TN1 traditional neighborhood district.
What's the minimum square footage of the lot required? I just don't want them to be short of, you know, having to come back again. That's all.
Yes, the property is already non-conforming, so it doesn't, it's kind of grandfathered in to the.
So TN1 allows for it, and it's grandfathered because of its historic size.
Yes.
Might be a good question when Mrs. Harris comes up. Any other questions for staff? Okay, Mrs. Harris, would you please come up? And
good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. Ellen Harris with Ethos Preservation, representing the property owner. Thank you very much for the staff report and the recommendation. As you can see, this property is unusual because the lane doesn't extend all the way through. It's only 27 feet wide, which makes it very difficult to have a driveway off of Anderson Street, and whether or not a curb cut would get approved there, would be debatable as well. We could potentially push the building back, but then that would disrupt the historic development pattern and necessitate other variances that would be required. We feel like the two-space parking variance fits within the development pattern. It's consistent with many of the other houses on the block. And thank you, Mr. Conan, for mentioning the minimum lot size. We did confirm that a duplex is allowed with this existing lot size, but I appreciate that comment. And I'd be happy to answer any questions that you have.
Any questions for the petitioner? All right. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Are there any members of the public that would like to speak concerning this petition? And if you're online, I'll again remind you, use the raise your hand feature. We'll recognize you. Okay. Well, we're entering the board discussion. Mrs. Jones, do you have anything you'd like to say? Mr. Hall? Mr. Condon?
No.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes, sir.
Someone like to make a motion?
I motion that we accept petitioner's request for variance.
All right, Mr. Plunk has made a motion to accept the petitioner's request for a variance. Is there a second to the motion?
Second.
Seconded by Mrs. Jones. Is there any discussion on the motion? All right, Mr. Plunk, how do you vote?
Aye.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Hall?
No.
And Mrs. Jones?
Yes.
All right, the motion passes and the request for a variance is approved. Next, we're going to hear the variance request for 2112 Iowa Street. This is number 22-002532.
The petitioner is Nathaniel Watson. The property is located at 2112 Iowa Street. The petitioner is requesting 4 variances. The petitioner is subdividing one lot into 2 in order to construct 2 single-family residences. The first variance is for a 10-foot lot width variance for the 60-foot lot width requirement, and a variance and a 583 square foot lot variance from the 6,000 square foot requirement. For lot B, a 10-foot width variance from the 60-foot lot width requirement, and a 602 square foot lot variance from the 6,000 square foot requirement for lot B. Here you have before you is there's an existing structure on the lot. It would be torn down and subdivided into 2 lots in order to construct 2 single family homes. This is a front view of the property from Iowa Street. This is the left side, lot A, where 1 single family would reside. This is the rear of the property. This will be lot B, where the second family would reside. This is the back of lot A. The side view from lot A. The front view from lot B. This is a proposal what the house, each house could look like, and the site plan. As you can see, off-street parking will be provided, garage, several rooms. The subject property is 0.25 acre size and a lot width of 100 feet, and is located in the East Savannah neighborhood. The East Savannah neighborhood consists of primarily single-family detached residences, 2-family residences, and apartment buildings. The proposed width is generally consistent with this pattern within the block face of Iowa Street between Long and Treat Avenue. There are 12 parcels with a 50-foot lot width. As you can see before you, these are the 12 parcels, some adjacent to the property. The petitioner desires to demolish the existing structure and subdivide into 100 feet into 2 50-foot lots. According to section 5.74, the minimum lot width for the RSF6 zoning district is 60 feet in width and a 6,000 square foot lot area. The proposed lot sizes would be consistent with the parcels in the area. And based upon the review of the criteria, staff recommends approval of the requested variances for 2112 Iowa Street.
Are there any questions for staff? Okay, if the petitioner is here, will you please come forward and state your name for the record and sign in?
Good morning. My name is Charletta Wilson-Jacks, and I am the sister of the petitioner.
My name is Nathaniel Watson. Thank you for taking up my variance request this morning.
Yes, sir. Do you have anything you'd like to say, Mr. Watson, or either one of you?
Yes. Just thank you for the opportunity to speak. We are excited about the opportunity to further stabilize this neighborhood. We were both raised here in Savannah, and we certainly believe in solid community development. And we are very excited about the fact that we are putting back in place lots that actually mirror the existing lot pattern in the neighborhood. So we ask for your approval of this variance request.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions for the petitioner? All right. You got one? Oh, okay. All right. Thank you. Oh, go ahead.
Will this be affordable housing?
So if I can share with you, I come from a background of professional planning. And one of the things that I am finding in my profession is that there is a lack of affordability, and not only affordable housing, but housing for workforce, the workforce population. So that is our aim, to do that, because we recognize that that is one of the major problems facing cities today.
Thank you. Are there any members of the public that would like to speak concerning this petition? You will come forward and state your name for the record.
Good morning, Chairman, ladies and gentlemen.
Morning.
My name is Adrian Hamilton. My wife is Vanda Singleton. We are the residents that live at 2116 Iowa Street. One of the things that we wanted to discuss when we got the letter, first and foremost, is one of the things that you brought up was revitalizing the neighborhood. Building more houses on a very tight street, which has already happened, doesn't actually revitalize the neighborhood. You may put more people in this neighborhood, but you're not revitalizing. Revitalizing it, for what she's saying, is giving people the ability to own these homes. But one of the problems that we have on Iowa Street right now are the rentals. We're homeowners. We fight to try to keep the neighborhood where it is, try to improve it. Every time we get a new house that's built there, it becomes a rental. There are problems. 2112, the last time someone was in there, there was a shootout. Go two houses down, there was a shootout there. All of these were people who moved out and rentals that moved in. We're fighting to keep our neighborhood as best we can. And that is a fight that we go through every day. And adding more rental properties to a neighborhood that we're trying to bring together is only going to cause more grief. We already deal with parking as a problem on the street. You come up Long Street and turn onto Iowa Street, and you've got to squeeze to get your car down there. Every time we add something else that's not actually bettering the neighborhood, all we're doing is just adding to the problems that we already have. It is nothing against anybody who wants to replace the house that's there. We know that that house exists. But when you start adding and encroaching and making it smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller, everything gets smaller and everything gets more crowded. We ran into the same problem when the apartments on Pennsylvania got rebuilt. They tore down the old apartments, that was a problem. And as soon as they built the new ones, that same problem came right back. So now we're dealing with even more houses and apartments that just got built in East Savannah. And now it feels like you're taking it from just on the other side of the fence on Long Street and literally putting it on our street. That overcrowding process, that process where you're having so many renters who don't seem to care about the neighborhood itself. That's our concern. That's not just a concern of my wife and I walk up and down and I talk to people in the neighborhood. I'm one of the few wackos that like to do that. And our biggest problem is simply when you have people who don't care about the neighborhood, and then you just say you want to improve it by putting a house there. Putting a house in in another neighborhood doesn't improve the neighborhood. People who take pride in the neighborhood make the neighborhood better. You know, and that's the reason why we're here. We want the neighborhood to be better, but putting another couple of houses on a street that's already crowded is not going to make it any better. It's not going to improve anybody's well-being. Because of the renters there, last year, they pulled 37 gun shells out of our yard. Because the neighbors who were renting were fighting each other with guns. You want to improve the neighborhood? Let's work on that first. Then we can get back to try to put an extra house in the neighborhood with somebody who actually wants to own a home and take pride in it, then somebody who wants to rent it and maybe or maybe not make the neighborhood worse. We've got people who've lived there their entire lives who want to move because the neighborhood actually is getting worse and not getting better. Why? Because we've added so much population. The apartments that were there before were all one story. I had worked for Comcast, so I worked in those houses. And it was pretty rough. So you've taken that out and tripled the entire population, put it back in the same spot and zoned it and then say that it's not going to get better. And then we're going to do the same thing on the streets. Excuse me for hitting the microphone. Let's take a look at that before we try to put more houses in there. That's not going to, you know, improve anything. It's going to put two more families on the street that may or may not enjoy the fact that, hey, we've got problems in our neighborhood that we're trying to solve. Let's solve those first. Then we can put houses in there. Maybe people will actually want to be on Iowa Street. Excuse me for seeming a little upset, but that's how I feel about it. Thank you for your time.
Just a minute. Just a minute. You'll get a chance to respond to public comment. Is there any other members of the public that would like to speak? Anybody online? All right. If you'd like to, you have a chance to respond to public comment. Come forward.
Oh. Thank you so much, Mr. Chair. As I said before, my name is Charletta Wilson-Jacks, and I want the gentleman to understand that we are committed to home ownership in this neighborhood. I know exactly how you feel because the very same thing is happening in my neighborhood and is happening in the neighborhood of my 92-year-old mother who is sitting here today. You can only change the neighborhood when you stabilize the neighborhood with homeowners. And as I responded to Ms. Jones, when she asked about the type of housing, it is to make it so that those who actually are in the workforce can come into a home and begin to stabilize it. You are absolutely right, sir. When there are renters, there is no investment or no commitment to the environment that they are in. But our commitment is to stabilizing this neighborhood, to be sure that it is focused on home ownership. And we, as people who are committed to that in our own personal lives, can assure you that when you bring in these types of owners, they begin to have that investment and they understand that they have to change the neighborhood. We will be right there with you. Truly understand that you have to deal with the environmental issues, such as the crime, such as the trash, and that comes from those who own it and can take value and pride in being the homeowners. When you're a renter, you don't have that kind of investment because you go from place to place. So that I want the gentleman to know that I really sympathize and empathize with him because I am going through that in my own neighborhood. My mother is going through that in her neighborhood. And you can only change those conditions when you are invested in the neighborhood. So home ownership is what this is all about. It is not about renters. It is about investing and stabilizing. And particularly when the patterns reflect what is already on the street. So we hear you, sir, and know that we are committed to neighborhood stabilization and neighborhood commitment. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, ma'am.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
So therefore, am I hearing you say that these homes that you're proposing will be for home ownership?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We are not in the business of home rental. We are in the business of home ownership, and that's what we are promoting. And when you ask the question before about affordable housing, it's more so for workforce housing, because we know that even government employees sometimes can't afford the housing. We all know what the housing market is going on now. So that's where our commitment is. It is for home ownership. It is not for rental.
You got somebody online? Okay.
So I thank you for the consideration.
Yes,
thank
ma'am. You. Go ahead, Mr. Lobson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate the public comment. And that's part of the reason we do the public notices and advertising so people in the neighborhood can participate in these hearings. But I just wanted to put on the record that in terms of the staff's position on this petition and our review of the request, I just wanted to make it clear that our review is based primarily on the review criteria of the zoning ordinance from the standpoint of the proposed subdivision, as well as the development pattern in the neighborhood. And I think all the points that were made today were very valid. I think they're somewhat outside of our purview, but I just wanted to make it clear both for the audience and for the board that our position in terms of our recommendation are based on those findings that we outlined in the staff report.
Thank you very much. Yes, and I totally agree with your comments that, you know, I'm very sympathetic to all of the comments made. We need to keep our discussion and considerations, you know, in line with the criteria for variances and, you know, the request that's before us. Are there any other members of the public that would like to speak? All right. Mrs. Jones, do you have anything you'd like to say?
No more, because I can empathize with what's being said by the gentleman from East Savannah, because we have the same type thing going on in our neighborhood. And I understand the density, that because we are fighting that ourselves. So I feel it. I really do. And right now, I just don't know where I would be on this. And I understand what Mr. Lotson is also saying. And I always haven't, because I'm familiar with East Savannah, as you know, and as well as Cloverdale, as well as Fowler Park, as well as Tatumville, as well as Poplar Place. And I can understand. So, you know, with this, I would almost have to abstain because I'm emotionally involved in this.
Mr. Hall, do you have anything you'd like to say? Mr. Condon?
No, sir.
Mr. Plump?
Yes, I was wondering, the gentleman who spoke, I was wondering if after the comments about her from her saying that they do not intend for these to be rental units, that they do want these. I saw that you wanted to stand up and say something. I was wondering if that allayed your concerns at all, if that, you know, kind of addresses your complaints about this project. If you can just... Yeah.
This is very brief. 2116A was built 2 years ago. The request was came in, single family home, supposed to have been sold. It's a rental property. So you can understand when someone comes and one side does it, the next side is going to. And from my time here, I'm not originally from Savannah, but I spent enough time and loved this city and loved the people here enough to know when you start to do it, every house where someone older has passed away, the house was put up for sale, it was bought and turned into a rental property. Every single one of them, excuse me, with the exception of one. So you can imagine my distrust when someone says it's going to be single family homes that are going to be sold. Because even the new one that was built on the street, the very first people that moved in there, rental property, rent. And we had to work with them to get some kind of understanding as to, okay, the loud talking in the middle of the night's got to stop. I love my neighbor. I love my city. I love the fact that people want to make it better. But it's hard to take something at face value when the face value that's given to you before was a lie. See where I'm coming from with that?
Yes, understood. Thank you.
Is there any more board discussion? I would like to caution everyone. Oh, go ahead.
Yes, if I may, my name is Nathaniel Watson. The reason that I bought the property was because the owner, Mrs. Ernestine Riley, that owned the property before me, she explained to me that she was renting the property and she always had problems with renters in that property. And she decided she couldn't handle it anymore and she decided she would sell it. And I let her know at that time that when I bought the property, I was not intending to do any kind of renting. My purpose was to purchase the property and then to build some nice houses on there, affordable houses if we can do that, and then sell them and we are gone and moving on to another project. Myself, my sister, my mother all formed a little investment group and we decided we wanted to do something to improve the neighborhood. And that's all we're trying to do. But we are not going to rent any kind of property. We're going to build it, sell it, and we're done.
I understand.
I do understand his concern, but that's not us.
Y'all don't currently manage any rentals, is that correct?
We have a family house that we grew up in on Victor Drive that my mother has been renting ever since we moved out of the house. And I'm the property manager and I take care of that. And that's what we do. My mother has that one house. But other than that, no, we don't have any other rental properties that we do.
Let's bring the discussion back into what we're looking at. There's a request for a variance. A lot coverage variance, and we're not looking to rezone the property or decide whether it's for rentals or not rentals. And I think we need to kind of rein that in because we're getting off track. Is there any more board discussion? Is there someone that'd like to make a motion?
I make a motion that we grant the petitioner's request.
All right, Mr. Condon has made a motion to grant the petitioner's request for variance. Is there a second to the motion?
I'll second.
Seconded by Mr. Plunk. Is there any discussion on this motion? All right, Mrs. Jones, how do you vote?
I would like to abstain.
All right. Mr. Hall?
Yes.
Mr. Condon?
Yes.
Mr. Plunk?
Yes.
Okay. The motion passes and the petitioner's request for variance is granted. Seeing as there's no other business, I'd like to call this meeting adjourned.